Blog Talk Radio.
Objects of the most stupendous magnitude. Measures which will affect the lives of millions, born and unborn, are now before us. We must expect a great expense of blood to obtain them. But we must always remember that a free constitution of civil government cannot be purchased at too dear a rate, as there is nothing on this side of Jerusalem of greater importance to mankind. I see a new nation ready to take its place in the world. Not an empire, but a republic. And a republic of laws, not men. Gentlemen, we are in the very midst of revolution. The most complete, unexpected, and remarkable of any in the history of the world. How few of the human race have ever had an opportunity of choosing a system of government for themselves and their children. I am not without apprehensions, gentlemen. But the end we have in sight is more than worth all the means. I believe, sirs, that the hour has come. My judgment approves this measure, and my whole heart is in it. All that I have, all that I am, and all that I hope in this life, I am now ready to stake upon it. While I live, let me have a country, a free country.
Live from FEMA Region 5, the Robert Rule Show starts in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control.
Who are that conservative? I really don't. If you don't agree with me, people don't agree with me. And that's fine. If you don't agree with me, have the balls, pick up your phone, call number is 347-215-6331. Show me that you have balls. I respect that. Again, the call-in number, 347-215-6331. Let us know you have a pair if you disagree. Some of the headlines tonight. Damage control. Too many judges, State Department says, of Clinton's emails. Game on. Of course, you know the whole Tom Brady thing. Pilot caught texting during takeoff. Iran thumbs nose at USA, even as Obama rallies support for the nuclear deal. Commander says, we're getting prepared to overthrow Israel. We welcome war. Israel bans journalists from voicing opinions in newscasts. Aren't you glad you live in America? Where it seems like they can say whatever they want. Feminists are angry that Kermit the Frog's new girlfriend is young and thin. LGBT activists blast Rent Boy raid as digital stonewall. Cheap phones quietly getting more popular. Obama phones. Mobile devices raise skin cancer risk. Beverly Hills drought panic amid rumors of swimming pool ban. Aspirin to fight cancer. Pentagon halts work with bioterror germ at 9 labs. We're going to get into all this stuff. But I wanted to play. I don't know if you had a chance to hear Donald Trump's press conference. I would like to get to that first. I want you to take a listen to it. Tell me what you think. I'll tell you what I think more afterwards, but first let me say, I didn't trust Donald Trump. I thought for sure, especially after the Larry Nichols interview, I thought that Donald Trump was in it to give the election to Hillary. Now, I've also said that the presidential election doesn't mean a hill of beans to me, because only 534 of the richest people in the world are going to be electing the president. My vote doesn't count there. It's called the electoral process, or electoral college, I mean. But it's interesting. Although I would love to see Rand Paul be our nominee, I think he's a very fair man, very intelligent man. Some of you may think he's a flip-flopper, and that's fine. But he has to play the game. Everyone has to play the game. Look at Rick Santorum when he was running for president. He said, I went along to get along. He's right. He was honest. That's the one thing I loved about Rick Santorum, the honesty. Every one of these guys is going along to get along. You don't know what they're going to do once they get there. Look at President Bush. When he was running, he ran on his foreign policy was similar to that of Ron Paul. He said, no nation building, no police in the world. We're not doing any of that stuff. And then after he got in, boom, we went to war in 7 different countries and occupied them. So you don't know what a presidential candidate's going to do. They could say one thing today and do another thing after the election. You don't know what you've seen out of them. That's why it's always, people say it's always better to vote for somebody that has a record. Locally, we don't have that much, because either we're not able to easily obtain their voting records or their new people. And so I say give everybody at least one chance. If they screw it up, then they're out of there. I said that with our congressman. I said, okay, well, let's give Dave a chance. And after the first term, you know, because I know the first term is the hardest. You can't get anything done in your first term. It's just damn near impossible, because you got to learn the ropes and everything. You got to learn how the Congress works. So during the second term, I said, well, you know what? It was bad, but here's the thing. First of all, I would not vote for a 2,000-plus page piece of legislation. Not me, especially if I only got a half hour to read it or 24 hours or whatever the time limit was on that. I'm not going to vote on that. I'm going to vote no. That's common sense for a patriot. I don't care what kind of bill it is. I don't give a damn if it's a budget bill. I don't give a damn what kind of bill it is. Unless I have read and understand and had meetings with several attorneys about this piece of legislation, I'm not going to vote for it in that time frame. It's not going to happen. When we go along to get along, when we reach across the aisle, when we shake hands with the devil, what are we doing? It's like, let's say you have a cookie in your hand and you take a bite. That's your yes vote on that 2,000-plus page piece of legislation. Let's say you vote on something else, another 1,000-page piece of legislation. There's another bite out of that cookie. That cookie represents your sovereignty, your rights, your freedoms, right there, that cookie. Every time you shake hands with the devil, every time you have a bipartisan vote, every time you reach across the aisle, you're taking a bite of that cookie. And pretty soon, after enough bites, that cookie's gone. I'm not doing it. I'm not playing with my Constitution. I'm not playing with your freedoms. I would never, ever do something like that. And that's what I expect out of my representative. Now, is that asking too much? Frankly, I don't care. All right. Let's get on with the Donald Trump clip. Actually, yeah, we got enough time. Let's do it. Here's the press conference.
Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you for all being here. This is some turnout. My great honor. The chairman just left, as you probably know, and he's been extremely fair. The RNC has been absolutely terrific over the last two-month period. And as you know, that's what I've wanted. I've wanted fairness. I don't have to be treated any differently than anybody else. I just wanted fairness from the Republican Party. We're leading in every single poll. A new poll came out today where we're over 30%. We've actually hit numbers as high as 35 and 40%. And frankly, I felt that the absolute best way to win and to beat the Democrats, and very easily, I think, beat the Democrats, no matter who it may be, whether it's Hillary or anybody else. And I think maybe Hillary's going to have a very hard time, frankly, with what's happening, getting to the starting gate. The best way for the Republicans to win is if I win the nomination and go directly against whoever they happen to put up. And for that reason, I have signed the pledge.
Yeah.
So I will be totally pledging my allegiance to the Republican Party and the conservative principles for which it stands, and we will go out and we will fight hard and we will win. We will win. And most importantly, we will make our country great again, because that's what it's all about. We have to make our country great again. With that, are there any questions? This is a self-funded campaign. We have our heart in it. We have our soul in it. I don't need money. I don't want money. And this is going to be a campaign like I think no other. I'm not controlled by lobbyists. I'm not controlled by anybody. I'm controlled by the people of the country in order to make our country great again. Yes, sir. Yeah, I got nothing. All I have, I really got nothing. Question was, what did I get for signing the pledge? Absolutely nothing, other than the assurance that I would be treated fairly. And I've seen that over the last 2 months, but they really have been very fair. No, I have no intention of changing my mind. Well, I think the big thing, Dana, that's changed is, and it's been obvious to all, number one, after I announced, we went up like a rocket ship. Nobody thought I was going to run, and they said, oh, he won't run, and he won't put in his papers, and he won't do all of this. I did that. The papers in terms of the company turned out to be spectacular. It's a great company. I built a great company. And all of the other papers have turned out to be very well received. And I think the thing that changed is the fact that I went to number one place very quickly after I signed and after I, in this building, notified everybody that I'd be running for president. So I think the biggest thing is that I went early to number one, and the RNC has treated me with great respect. So that was very important. Yes. No, I see no circumstances under which I would tear up that pledge. Well, you don't have to be met when you're at 2%. It's one of those things. That's the way life works. And I like Governor Christie, by the way. Well, the chairman asked if he could come up. You saw him. He was here a little while ago. And I was greatly honored that he did come up, frankly. Well, I think that when you get right down to it, we're a nation that speaks English. And I think while we're in this nation, we should be speaking English. And that's how assimilation takes. And that's how, I mean, whether people like it or not, that's how we assimilate. And that's how we go on to that next phase and that next stage. And that's how people that don't speak English, and I'm not just talking about Spanish, I'm talking about from various parts of the world, that's how they will become successful and do great. So I think it's more appropriate to be speaking English. Yes. Well, one of the things I want to do, and I feel very strongly, it's a country based on borders, and our country is based on laws. And when people come into the country illegally, we should not allow that. And this is not from South America, this is not from Mexico, this is from all over the world. When people come illegally, we cannot allow that. And I want people to come legally. I want very much to take care of our border, because our southern border is a total mess. That's been proven. And interestingly, a couple of months ago when I announced, I made some very strong statements about the crime and the problems that were happening, and I've been proven right. And many of the people in this audience actually have apologized to me, which I very much appreciate. Of course, they haven't done it publicly, but these are minor details. Someday they will. The fact is that we are a nation that wants and needs borders. We're a nation that wants and needs and is based on laws. And we will make sure that that takes place. With that being said, I want people to come into our country legally. I want to have a big, fat, beautiful, open door. I want people of great talent to come in for Silicon Valley. I want engineers. I want physicists. I want people with great talent to come into the United States. When people graduate from college, you can be number one in your class at Harvard, or number one at Yale, or the Wharton School of Finance, or Princeton, or Stanford. And immediately, if you're not a citizen of the United States, you get thrown out of the country. We want those people to stay. We want people of great talent to be in the United States, to work here, and ultimately to become a citizen. I don't know enough about it to comment on it. Was she jailed? I really don't know much about it. No, no. Yes, go ahead. That's absolutely false. I win at golf. I win at golf. That I can tell you. Yes. Well, I understand how the system works, maybe better than anybody. I understand the political system, and I understand also very much a system of coming in for illegal immigrants. Don't forget, if I didn't bring up the subject of illegal immigration, you wouldn't be asking the question, nobody would even be talking about immigration, and immigration, and in particular illegal immigration, has become a very big factor. Now, a lot of bad things have happened with respect to crime since I brought it up, but if I didn't bring it up, immigration would not even be a subject that we're talking about, and it happens to be a very important subject. I have to say this, it can also be a very positive subject, because I believe so strongly in immigration, and we have to stop illegal immigration, and we have to look forward to great immigration done in a legal manner. But if I didn't bring it up, nobody would be talking about it. No, go ahead. Well, there is gridlock in Congress right now, and that's because there's no leadership at the top. You have to be able to lead. You have to get people into your office. You have to get people, go to them, any way you want to do it. But you have to be able to lead. There is no leadership at the top. Signing executive orders is not the way our country was supposed to be run. Yeah, go ahead. I don't want to talk about that here. It's inappropriate. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Tom Brady? Well, Tom Brady is a very good friend of mine. He's a great guy. For those of you that don't know him, he's a very honorable guy and an honest guy and a truly great athlete. He is really a very good friend of mine, and I just spoke to him a little while ago. He's so thrilled and so happy. Tom Brady, I think what they've done is terrible, and he has been exonerated, as I understand it, because I just heard about it, but I'm very happy for Tom. As far as the commission is concerned, they're having a rough year, let's face it. They're having a very rough year. Yeah, go ahead. Well, in Europe, they have tremendous problems where people are going in and storming, and it's a huge humanitarian problem. And I just say this, the United States has tremendous problems of their own. We have infrastructure that we have to fix. We have bridges and roads and tunnels, and everything's falling apart. Our nation's in such trouble. That's why being a builder, and a great builder, and a very successful builder, I think will greatly help. But we have so many of our own problems, including the border, including the wall, which we will get built, including all of the things we have, health care, which is a mess. You know, if you look at Obamacare, the premiums have gone up 45, 50, 55%. People are saying this is turning out to be a disaster. Deductibles are through the roof. The deductibles on Obamacare, it's through the roof. So we have a lot of problems. We have to take care of our vets. We have to build up our military. Just the other day, General Ordiano said that the Army is in the worst shape in its history in terms of preparedness. Now, for them to be in bad shape with the way we are and with the world hating us, and you look at Hillary Clinton, and I've said she's the worst Secretary of State in the history of this country. Now, in all fairness, because of the agreement that's about to be finalized with Iran, John Kerry may very well take her place. I think that agreement is a disaster for this country, for Israel, for the Middle East. It's going to lead to nuclear proliferation, the 24-day clause, everything about, we don't even get our prisoners back. You say, who negotiates a thing like that? That won't happen, I can guarantee you, with a President Trump. All right, one or two more questions. Yeah. You'll see it later. Yeah. They don't want to hear it. Yeah, go ahead. Could you say it up, please? All I want them to do, yeah, and say hello to Rosanna and Greg, okay? Great people. I would say, very simply, I just want to be treated like everybody else. You see, I was always the fair-haired boy. I was a big contributor. Nobody knows the system, but I was on the other side, and I was the elite. I was the fair-haired person. Once I ran, all of a sudden, I was a little bit of an outsider. I became an outsider because I was running, because I wasn't supposed to run. I'm this businessman that people have given me great credit as being a great businessman, but I'm not supposed to be running for office. The fact is that our country is being killed on trade by China, by Japan, by Mexico, both at the border and on trade. And I'm not knocking those countries. Their leaders are much, much smarter than our leaders. They are absolutely killing us. China, taking our jobs, taking our money, taking our base. And think of this. We owe China $1.4 trillion. And we're paying them interest. We owe Japan, with all of the cars coming in, the same amount, $1.4 trillion. That's like a magic act. They send the cars in, they take our jobs, they do everything, and we owe them money. That's not going to happen with me. It's been a long time. Go. Well, Jeb Bush is a very nice man, I'll be honest. I think he's a very nice person. I think he's a very low-energy person, and I don't think that's what the country needs. I hear that he's going to spend a lot of money on negative ads on me, and honestly, look, he's getting the money from special interests, he's getting the money from lobbyists and his donors, and they're making him do it because he's crashing in the polls. So I don't know what's going to happen. If he spends $20 million or $25 million on negative ads, I don't know. I know that my life will continue. I just don't know. I mean, nobody's ever spent money on ads against me. But he probably has to do that, although it would not be the way I've done it. You know, one of the things that I'm most honored about is that so far, everybody that's attacked me has gone down the tubes. You have Lindsey Graham attacked me. He was at 3%. Now he's at 0%. You have Perry attacked me. Now he's getting out of the race. He was at 4 or 5%. Now he's getting out of the race. He was at 0%. Everybody, Rand Paul attacked me. I see the last poll, the Monmouth poll, just came out today where I'm leading by double figures. And Rand Paul is down to less than 2%. And he attacked me. Now, Jeb Bush also just went down in the Monmouth poll, very big. So, I don't know. I mean, they're going to spend, he's going to spend lobbyists' money and special interest money. Remember this, they have total control over Jeb and Hillary and everybody else that takes that money. Nobody knows the system better than me. They have total control. You understand it very well because you've been covering it for a long time. Those people that are putting up those millions of dollars have total control over your candidate. I will tell you this, nobody's putting up millions of dollars for me. I'm putting up my own money. In fact, I feel a little bit foolish. People are offering me millions and millions of dollars. You know, when you're in first place, you can collect so much money. And I keep turning them down. I feel like, am I a fool? I feel very foolish. And when I was in Iowa last week, I said, what do you think? Can I take one man offered me, a big lobbyist, offered $5 million for my campaign. I said to the crowd in Iowa, great crowd, 4,000 people, I said, can I take it? And will you believe I'm not going to do anything? I promise you, I swear to you, I won't do anything. And they all stood up and said, no, no, don't take it. The fact is I'm the only self-funder. I'm putting up my own money. I know there have been some super PACs, 5 or 6 super PACs, where people are forming super PACs for Trump. I have nothing to do with them. As you know, you're not allowed to have anything to do with them. So I don't know what they're going to do. Hopefully, if they're going to do something, it's going to be nice, but I don't know anything about them. But just in a nutshell, I'm funding my own campaign, nobody else's. When people advertise, and I hope the voters can see this, Every negative ad they see about me is paid for by lobbyists and special interests. So just remember that. Yeah, go ahead. Our country can be doing much better. We have deficits that are enormous. We have all bad trade agreements. We have an army that the head said is not prepared. We have a military that needs help, and especially in these times. We have nuclear weapons that you look at 60 Minutes, they don't even work. Okay? If anybody saw that report, the phones don't work. They're 40 years old. They have wires that are no good. Nothing works. Our country doesn't work. Everybody wins except us. We need victories in this country. We don't have victories anymore. Our country will be great again, but right now our country has major problems. Yes, ma'am. Who is who? Yes, Carly. I think it's great that she's in the debate. I was in favor of her being. I think she should be in the debate. I don't like that fact that there are 11 people now, as I understand it. They're not getting rid of Rand Paul or somebody. But and they should, because there's too many people. Because when you have 11, you're not going to hear me and you're not going to hear other people talking. And I think that's too bad. I think 11 is a lot of people. But I was very happy that she got into the debate because, frankly, she deserved to be in the debate. Okay? I think maybe he's inclined not to get in the race. I think it's going to depend on what happens with Hillary Clinton. A lot of people think that she will not be able to make it legally from a criminal standpoint to the starting gate. I don't know that to be true. But I think it depends on what happens with her. I think if she gets out, he will get in. I think if she stays in, he might not. Who knows? Oh, he's not supposed to be here because he was here. He was up in my office and he got the pledge and we're very happy about that. We don't want anything. And I told him, I said, I don't know if it's appropriate, Reince, for you to be here because I don't want anything. You know, you guys will end up saying he's endorsing Trump. That would be inappropriate for him. So I suggested, frankly, that I'm fine with him not being here because I don't want anybody to think he's endorsing. As far as Jeb is concerned, I watched him this morning on television, and it's a little bit sad. Don't forget, he was supposed to win, and he just doesn't have the energy. But what he does have is a lot of money that was given to him, again, by special interest donors and lobbyists. And I just hope that if he spends money on ads, which he may not, if I were him, I'd spend money on positive ads about himself. Because if he knocks me, assuming people leave, and maybe they're at a point where they're not going to leave because they're fed up with what's happening in this country, but I think they're going to go to people other than Jeb. Yeah, go ahead. I don't know. I'm right now, I'm interested in jobs. One thing, and one of the groups, it was actually CNN, I shouldn't say that, but they did a very massive poll, and I came out number one in leadership, number one on the economy, number one in jobs producing, and I don't mean by number one, I mean like number one by many, many times. And I am so intent on putting people back to work in this country. You know, we have 93 million people that are not in the workforce right now. 93 million. When they give up looking for a job, they take them off the stats. They take them off the statistics. We have 93 million people. We have 50 million people between poverty levels and welfare and all. Our country can be great again. We have to put people back to work. All right, one or two more. Okay, would I bring my children into the administration? I will tell you they are very capable. The answer is probably not. But having them in would be very good. They're very, very capable children. Second part, I won't bother asking because it's no longer pertinent. Okay, yes, back there. Go ahead. Kanye West, you know what? I'll never say bad about him. You know why? Because he loves Trump. He loves Trump. He goes around saying, Trump is my all-time hero. He says it to everybody. So Kanye West, I love him. Now, maybe in a few years I'll have to run against him. I don't know, so I'll take that back. But you know what? He's been so nice to me. I sort of, you people have sort of seen, because I've been a counterpuncher. I only hit people when they hit me. Only. And Kanye West has been so great. I would never say bad about him because he says such nice things about me. No, my supporters are really supporting me because I'm very competent, because they know that I'm not going to let China rip us off. I'm not going to let Japan rip us off. Japan is devaluing their yen. Very hard for Caterpillar and other companies to compete against Komatsu, their big tractor maker, and others. We're not going to let this happen anymore. They do. You talk about a trade imbalance. They have in Japan the biggest ships you've ever seen pouring cars into Los Angeles, pouring them in. I've never seen anything like it. We send them beef, and they don't even want it. It's going to end, and they're going to like us. In this building, I have the largest bank in the world, right up in these elevators. It's a bank from China, by far the biggest bank in the world. I get along great with China. I get along great with Japan. I get along great with Mexico. I love the people. I love the people of Mexico. I love the Hispanics. I have thousands of Hispanics right now working for me. Over the years, I have employed tens of thousands of Hispanics, many from Mexico. I have unbelievably great relationships. And in the package that we gave you, you'll see there's a poll. And I'm number one with Hispanics. You saw that. Number one with Hispanics. So, look, for our country to be great, we have to be able to make great deals. We're going to be great to the vets. We're going to be terrific. Our military is going to be unbelievable. All of these things, we're going to get rid of Obamacare and come up with something that's much better and much less expensive. We're going to get rid of it. We're going to repeal it. It's going to be out. It should have been out a long time ago. It should have never happened. But we are going to take care of our country, and we're going to bring back jobs, and we're going to bring back wealth to the United States so we can afford to save Social Security, which I'll save without cuts, so that we can afford to do the kind of things that we have to do to make America great again. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. And here is your pledge.
Obamacare. Fun. Cool. YOLO. At Obamacare, we believe in saying the words affordable health care so that young people will love us and sign up like lemmings. Sure, you pay 2.5% of your income in penalties, but young people don't have to worry about that because you don't have a job. Work sucks. That's why we at Obamacare want to trade your full-time job for a part-time one, so you'll have more time for fun things, like watching millionaire celebrities tweet about how affordable we are. Obamacare. Just like guys enjoy premium leather seats, so too you'll enjoy paying triple the healthcare premiums out of your new part-time salary. Speaking of guys, ever been on a mandate before? At Obamacare, we're full of mandates. But don't worry, big corporations get exempt, so you don't have to. It's fun paying for things you don't even use. Yeah, you work out, stay healthy, but come on, brah. Someone's got to pay for people who smoke, drink 85-ounce sodas, and live in a Barca lounger. So enjoy your premium hikes, young people of America, because everyone loves hikes. Obamacare. If millionaire celebrities can afford us, why can't you? A message from the White House Office of Obamacare. Propaganda to get young people to love us and sign up like lemmings.
And on the ninth day, God spilled some coffee on an angry possum and God made a liberal. God said, I need someone willing to get up at the crack of noon and check their Facebook and tweet vile things, take a nap, borrow money from their parents, and stay out all night drinking Pabst ironically and snorting bath salts and whine until midnight. So God made a liberal. He said, I need a person that can take a thriving community and turn it into a debt-ridden post-apocalyptic welfare state. I need someone who thinks meat is murder, produce is raised in grocery aisles, who can't fix a flat tire or change your own oil, and who, when forced to finally get a job as a barista, makes you wait for your latte while they play Angry Birds on their iPhone and then takes his union-mandated two-hour break. So God made a liberal. God said, I need somebody dumb enough to believe in global warming and deficit spending, yet arrogant enough to look down at hard-working folk because they don't have a worthless PhD in 17th-century Belgian lesbian studies. It had to be someone that would tax and spend, sue and attack, flip and flop, legislate from the bench and pass an unread bill, a person that would take a story of American success and turn it into a lesson of injustice. So God made a liberal. It had to be someone who'd lie to themselves and others and envy the successful, someone to whine, cry, demand, screech, and scream sexist, intolerant, xenophobic, homophobic, Islamophobic, racist, bigot. It had to be someone that at the end of the day they could go home after helping rip apart a country with divisive race and class war, and who would laugh and then sigh with mocking eyes, thinking, if I hadn't aborted all my children, they'd probably say they want to spend their life doing what Dad does. So God made a liberal.
And do you think that you can act without Congress to initiate a no-fly zone in Syria without congressional approval?
You know, again, our goal would be to seek international permission, and we would come to the Congress and inform you and determine how best to approach this, whether or not we would want to get permission from the Congress. I think those are issues we would have to discuss as we decide what to do here.
Well, I'm almost breathless about that, because what I heard you say is we're going to seek international approval, and they will come and tell the Congress what we might do, and we might seek congressional approval.
No, well,
I want to just say to you, that's a big dish. Wouldn't you agree? You've served in the Congress.
Yeah.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Broadcasting live from FEMA Region 5, you're listening to The Robert Rule Show.
So that was the Donald Trump press conference, the Donald speaking in the third person. And you know what? I don't have a problem with that. If a man is smart enough to earn billions of dollars, I'm going to let him talk any way he wants. I have no problem with people making money. Some people take offense to that. Some people self-pity and blame others when they have nothing. Maybe you weren't ambitious enough. Maybe you had an invention and didn't go with it. Maybe there was an opportunity in your life and you didn't take it. You know, I don't know what your situation is. I know my faults, and I have to live with them. And that's just the way it goes. This man has billions and billions of dollars, and if he wants to talk in a third person, God bless him. So, you heard that Trump signed the pledge. He got together with the head of the GOP, Reince Priebus, and signed the pledge. Now, is the pledge legally binding? Let's say that the GOP rigs the election again, because you know at the last convention, I'll tell you what happened at the last convention. Let's go over that. Ron Paul had enough states and delegates to have his name put on the ballot against Mitt Romney. Now, that happened a long time ago with Ronald Reagan. And I'd love to be able to come on air and explain to you that process one day. However, the rules have changed. Now it's up to the GOP and the front runner to decide. All the lemmings in the crowd, they had no idea what was happening when Ginsburg and Boehner to change the rules. And I'm not bitter about it. I'm just saying, you know, the GOP, they have a right to do whatever they want to do. It's their party. The leadership, you people out there, you elect your leadership locally and nationally. And if your leadership's doing something that you don't like, well, guess what? You chose them as your leaders. So when I hear people complain, well, this person did this, and this person did that, and our leader did this, and our leader did that. He's your leader. You selected him. You selected her. You selected him. Whatever. Just like your congressman. Just like your senators. Just like your representatives. You elected him. Why are you complaining? Seriously, why are you complaining? You're always bitching and moaning about something or other, but you never change it. Only you can change that. Only you can fix that. If your leadership's doing something wrong, well, then you're obligated to change it. If not, shut up. Seriously. Don't complain. Don't be a crybaby. Be somebody with solutions. You can whine and bitch and moan all day long, but if you don't have a solution to the problem, don't do it. It's very easy to say, hey, so-and-so did this, I think it's time for new blood. So-and-so did this, we need new leaders. We need new representation. It's up to you to do that. Instead of complaining, put all of your energy into changing it if you don't like it. That's my two cents. I don't like complainers. I don't like whiners. Yeah, it may sound like I'm whining sometimes. I'm just reporting to you what's happening. That's all. I have my opinion, yeah. But in the end, I know that I chose that person to represent me. Look at let's talk about the Central Committee. In my ward, which is made up of precincts, we all got together. I chose the person to represent me. I didn't want to be that person. I chose somebody else. Somebody asked me the other day, how come you don't come to all of these meetings? Because I chose somebody to represent me. That means I put my trust in that person to make the right decision. And that's why I did. And so when you elect a chairman, when you elect a state representative, when you elect a council person, you're electing that person to represent you. This is a representative republic. So don't complain when they don't do what you need them to do. Either put your name on the ballot or vote for the other person. That's why I like primaries. Primaries are good because then you have a choice. You get to choose which person you want to represent you. Maybe one person didn't do a good job. Maybe the other person will. But if you're not putting your name on the ballot, you're taking a chance. All right, enough of the pep talk. What did you think about Trump? I am concerned. I'm still concerned because it's a sign in the pledge. It's not a legally binding contract. Republicans absolutely need to know that Donald Trump is not going to run as a third party. Now, they may say, well, we can use that against him, you know, make him look bad. He signed the pledge, but he went against it. And look, I like Trump. I don't think he's a bad candidate. I like a lot of what he has to say. I'm just weary of this kind of stuff. I'm just concerned. What happens when Trump doesn't get the nomination and he decides to run for a third party anyway? Are you going to pull out the contract and say, but you signed the pledge? How many people are going to give a damn whether he signed a pledge or not? And are you going to rig the election to get Jeb Bush in there? Who wants Jeb Bush? Nobody. Nobody wants another Bush. Nobody wants another Clinton. I don't understand what people don't understand about that. We don't want them. Now, maybe a Rand Paul or a Ted Cruz or a Ben Carson has absolutely no experience. I don't see him going far as president. I can't really think of anyone else. People seem to like Carly Fiorina, and that's fine. She has experience. Definitely not a Bush, definitely not a Clinton. If Trump is the nominee and he sticks with it, I will support him. Now, Rand Paul had some things to say, and before I get into that, I want to talk about what happened in Kentucky, Rand Paul's home state. In Ashland, Kentucky, 5 of 6 deputies in the office of a Kentucky county clerk are jailed, refusal to issue marriage licenses after the Supreme Court allowed gays to wed, say they will process the paperwork starting Friday. But Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis, whom U.S. District Court Judge David Bunning found in contempt of court, said through her lawyers she will not authorize any of her employees to issue licenses in her absence. The judge placed her in the custody of U.S. Marshals and had her taken to the Carter County Jail. Quote, my conscience will not allow it, Davis said earlier to Bunning. God's moral law convicts me and conflicts with my duties. First Amendment. Let me read it to you again. I know you're getting tired of hearing of it. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. She exercised her religious rights and was put in jail because of that. That is a direct violation of the First Amendment. That's why I say I don't like case law. I don't like when a car salesman can go in front of a judge and argue a case against the Constitution and win. And then it's used in arguments with other cases, as in the case of gay marriage. But also, on the other hand, I blame the religious zealots who would not let it be, who said, we don't want gays to get married. You forced your religion on others. Now, hear me out. you tried to force your religion on others. Backfire every single time. We should not ever be forcing our religion on others, especially through law like that. And this is what happens. Now this woman is in jail. Now she'll be spending tons of money, which if she doesn't have it, she's going to lose. Because remember, you have to have money to be free in this country, because these lawyers will tear you up. So, that brings me to the Rand Paul clip. And he even rips on Donald Trump at the end. Here it is.
Senator and Republican presidential candidate Rand Paul is with us this morning from Capitol Hill. Senator, good morning. Good to see you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I want to ask you about what's happening in your state and county clerk, Kim Davis. Should she be fired or should she be allowed to keep her job?
Well, you know, I think we could probably find an in-between solution where people can have contracts, any consenting adults can have contracts, but that we don't really force people to put their imprimatur, their signature, or their approval on the contract. You know, notaries notarize contracts all the time. Why couldn't you just have a notary doing it? The clerk has said she will file the contracts as she files any other contract. She just doesn't want to be forced to participate in something she has a religious objection to. And I think we could find a way around this. Ultimately, if society is going to change its opinion on what marriage is, I think it'd probably be better through persuasion than through sort of an aggressive tactic where we federalize everything and force people to do things they don't want to do.
But right now, Senator Paul,
to probably let people make their own decisions.
But right now, Senator Paul, we don't have another option. These are the two choices. Do you support what she's doing?
Well, I don't think we always have to have two choices or that it has to be a binary option. I think you actually could make it such that notaries notarize contracts. In fact, what's happening is as the people who are promoting this change in the definition of marriage, as they become more aggressive, there is going to be more resistance. And some of the states are getting out of the marriage business entirely and just saying, look, you want to have a marriage, go somewhere and get people who agree with your definition to give an imprimatur on it, but don't ask those of us who don't agree with it to put our imprimatur on it. So I think ultimately that's what's going to happen. If the people want to change things, push too hard, they're actually going to make things worse. And I think persuasion is a much better way than sort of bullying people into believing what you believe in.
Senator, what do you make of the request by the RNC for candidates to sign a pledge that they won't run as third-party candidates? Have you received that, and have you signed it?
We have received it. I haven't signed it. I do have some sympathy for third parties, frankly, because sometimes the main two parties don't do a very good job, and third parties provide pressure on the two parties to be better, actually. But what I don't like about, you know, Donald Trump would be his using the Republican Party and then perhaps going out at the very end after he doesn't win the nomination and then trying to destroy the Republican Party.
Do you like the idea of a pledge? Will you sign it?
Ross Perot, you know, ended up giving us the first Clinton, and I think that if Trump does this again, he could give us another Clinton. So I think really he ought to state his intentions, and if he wants to be part of a third party, I have no objection to him doing that, but he ought to make the decision now. In all likelihood, yes, I will sign the pledge. I haven't discussed it yet with advisors, but we have said in the past that, yes, I'm not going to run as a third party candidate, and I think that is a reasonable pledge to take.
Senator Paul, Jeb Bush and Donald Trump are having a spirited back and forth, we should say, by tweet. At one point, Jeb Bush even said that Donald Trump is out to destroy the Republican Party. What do you think about that?
I think that Donald Trump is a fake. I think he's a fake conservative, and really there's not much about him that is conservative. I've been pointing out with a great deal of emphasis that the right to private property, and that you can't take private property and give it from one to another. This was the Kelo case. This was a big deal for conservatives. It was in 2005, and we objected to the Kelo decision that allowed private property to be transferred from one private property owner to the other. This is something Donald Trump uses in his business model. He took a little old woman, a lady's house, who'd lived in her house for 30 years just to make a parking lot, and he used the bully force of government. So there's issue after issue. He was for President Obama's government stimulus. He was for Obamacare. So I think he's been against conservatives on every issue of the decade, and yet now he wants us to believe that he's changed his opinion on everything. That's a little unusual for an adult to be now against everything that we're for. So I'm going to keep pointing out that he is a fake conservative, and he's going to have to sort of convince people that he's sincere.
Senator Rand Paul, thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
Change is being served up at your breakfast.
Wow. Rand Paul not pulling any punches there. I want to hear from the Trump people. What do you think? What are your thoughts? What are your concerns? Anybody have another candidate in the race? I'm hearing crickets. That's all I ever hear. Nobody in politics wants to talk politics. Why? I'll tell you why. Because they're all jockeying for position. They will never tell you what they think on any given subject. I mean, you could ask them personally, but they're never going to go on record. Like, they're not going to call into a show. They're not going to post it on Facebook. Hardly ever even in a text. Anyone running for political office is never going to say where they stand. Why? Because it's going to change with each endorsement and change with each donation given to them. So the ones that do stand firm, the ones who mean what they say and say what they mean, those are the people you want to elect. You don't want to elect a person that has no opinion. All right. A lot of people are wondering where Jason's at tonight because, you know, Jason pretty much makes the show. Jason is, I'm not a big talker. Never have been. Usually when I'm having a conversation with somebody, I don't say but two words. But I like to get the message out. I like to get this all out in the open. And he'll be back with us Sunday night. I think I'm going to end the show right here. There's not much going on in the way of news except for, wait a minute. There's a couple things going on, actually. Inside job, you know, the big search. They were looking for somebody who shot at a cop up there in Massachusetts. Here's a new news flash. Massachusetts officer to be fired for fabricating story about shooter. Police in Massachusetts say an officer shot and set fire to his own patrol vehicle Wednesday, despite his claim that he had crashed into a tree after being attacked by a gunman. The officer's initial claims resulted in a widespread manhunt, which included the deployment of the department's air wing helicopter, as well as closure of numerous public buildings, including schools and libraries. Sky Fox flew over the scene on Forest Road, where an officer said he was checking on a disabled vehicle when he was shot at three times, notes Fox 25. The officer said he fired back, then crashed when he attempted to follow the vehicle. Then he told police his cruiser caught fire. Police have thus far made no comments regarding a possible motive, only stating that the officer would be relieved of duty. Statements from Fox 25 indicate that the officer will also likely face criminal charges. The alleged actions of this officer should not reflect on the remainder of the Millis Police Department, Millis Police Spokesman Sergeant William Dwyer said. The other officers on this department are dedicated public servants and committed to the highest levels of integrity. To their credit, they undertook the difficult task of investigating one of their own and did so without bias. Congratulations. So there it is. The other story. The video that was out the sheriff's department shooting a man with his hands up was leaked by the media, and the sheriff's department went after the media for that, but issued an apology. An embattled Texas sheriff's department is saying it's sorry after it reprimanded a local news group for airing footage showing two of its deputies gunning down a man who appeared to have his hands raised. Earlier today, Dexter County Sheriff's Office issued an apology to ABC News affiliate KSAT and to the public for their treatment of the news agency following their release of exclusive footage featuring an officer involved in shooting that left a man dead. The Dexter County Sheriff's Office has enjoyed excellent working relationships with the media. Unfortunately, a disagreement with KSAT-TV earlier this week rose to a level that none of us predicted or desired. For that, we apologize to KSAT and to the public. We met with leaders of KSAT Tuesday and cleared the air. We are committed to moving forward and continuing to work with KSAT and all the media in a professional manner. The footage, which was published unedited that day, does not show moments prior to the incident. It features two police officers following a man onto a front yard of a property outside of San Antonio. The man, 41-year-old Gilbert Flores, appeared to put his hands in the air before he's gunned down by one or both officers. Police claim they had attempted to deploy non-lethal force to subdue the suspect, including tasers and riot shields, and that Flores had attempted to resist and fight back. However, none of those purported actions were viewable on KSAT's video. Following release of the damning footage, the sheriff's office publicly condemned KSAT for publishing the video, labeling their actions unethical, sad, and sensational, and claiming their deputies were now receiving physical threats. The sheriff's office also published KSAT's phone number and encouraged its Facebook and Twitter followers to call the news agency. Quote, would you want your loved ones to see your death? What about the investigation being jeopardized by a video that doesn't share the whole story? It's about doing the right thing. This is the only piece of evidence, one Facebook reply from the sheriff's office states. People on Facebook overwhelmingly disagreed with the user stating, this one piece of evidence is the reason why these two officers deserve to be prosecuted for homicide. Yesterday, the county sheriff, Susan Parmalis, announced the existence of a second video of an altercation which shows that Flores had a knife. Another source told CNN, the footage shows the suspect was acting wildly aggressive. On Tuesday, the FBI said it would also investigate the incident to determine whether a civil rights violation took place as a result of a deputy willfully engaging in the use of excessive or unjustified force. Many across the county have lauded KSAT's commitment to the First Amendment and freedom of the press for publishing the controversial footage clearly in the public's interest. So, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you on Sunday. As always, God bless you all, and God bless America.